How are you? Welcome to the Entrepreneur Experiment podcast with me, Gary Fox. The Entrepreneur Experiment breaks down the secrets and systems world-class founders use to build their business, their body, and their brain. It's the weekend, and every weekend I give you a brand new mentor. It's mentor moments time. Over the next 10 to 15 minutes, you're going to get the most high-impact advice from some of our best guests. And today, it's a big one. It's Mr. Pat Dively. I follow Pat for a very long time, enjoyed a lot of his content, and I've learned a massive amount from him. And today, we learn a huge lesson. It's all about decision-making. When do you know it's the right time? Spoiler alert, you never know, but you just have to go. You have to make that decision. And Pat breaks this down beautifully, gives us some frameworks, and gives us some ways to think about this decision-making. Here is my mentor moment with Mr. Pat Dively. First, quick thank you to my incredible partners, Iconic. If you're a regular listener of the pod, which I hope you are, you'll know I've been hosting the podcast from Iconic offices for quite a while now, and things have gone really, really well. So well, in fact, that I'm now a member of Iconic offices, working and recording from one of their spaces. This means I can vouch for the benefits it gives to any business. On that note, Iconic offices have given me a number of exclusive complimentary day office trials for my audience. So try it out for yourself for the day. Bring your team. No catches. Simply go to the web link in the description and enter Gary23, so it's Gary23, to claim your complimentary office for a whole day. It's a pretty fantastic offer. Thank you, Iconic offices.
You know, much to my accountant's discontent, I just walked away from it pretty much overnight with the fitness. I had a guy working for me in my gym. I gave the gym to him. I said, you can have this. You can put your name above the door. It's not really my thing anymore. People were saying, keep your name above it, but my energy just wasn't there for it. Initially, I went from being in the gym all the time to I'd started delivering some talks. And I said, if I can go to the gym once a week and I can see each of my clients once a week, they'll understand that's enough. But when it got to the point where I didn't even like going in that one day a week, I was like, I'm just fooling myself and everyone here, because beyond just being about fitness, I was telling my clients, you know, do things you enjoy and you know, make the most of life and all this kind of stuff. And here I was forcing myself to go in. So I walked away from that. And not a smart move from a business standpoint, but it definitely felt liberating over time.
How did you reach that decision? Because that's something we chat about quite a bit on the pod is if an entrepreneur has kind of had, you know, a very good job, exactly like you've had here, or they've been with a big company, how did you make that decision? I think that's the hardest thing for people. I have commitments, I have a job, I have a wife, I have a house, I have kids. You know, how did you make that decision? Because obviously you were walking away from something very, very lucrative and something you'd probably dreamt about having for a long time.
Yeah, I'm always like conscious of like everyone listening to this is in a different life, you know, different position in life. I was single, no kids, no partner. So like there was definitely that to it. And sometimes people say, oh, it's fine for you.
That old excuse people use.
It's easy to say that. And sometimes people think when they make a lot of money that like, so they'll have the freedom to retire. But money's like a trap. It's like the golden handcuffs. You think you don't want to walk away when you're making loads of money. But for me, the other side of it is like, I talk about the head and the heart. And the idea that your heart always knows what's right and your gut and your intuition, like it always knows what's right. We talk about overstimulating ourselves earlier on. When I'm overstimulated, I can distract myself from what my heart is saying. But when there's those quiet moments when I'm on my own or I go for a hike or I try to meditate and I know inside that like this is not the right move for me, I think what happens is the heart will guide you if you give it a bit of space, but then your head will come in and it'll give you 100 reasons to stay in the uncomfortable position. Like, you know, you might be 10 years into a relationship and your heart just knows it's not working anymore, but your head starts telling you, well, what if I don't meet someone else? What if I don't get to start a family? And, you know, you'll justify it to yourself. And so for me, it was just a case of like, I suppose to some degree where we struggle is you can be inspired to action or you can be in such a desperate place that you kind of have to take action. And for me at 24, my life becomes so desperate that I had to change something. And I guess again at 28, you know, when I have everything I thought I ever wanted, I'm going to a psychiatrist trying to figure out what's wrong with me. That was another desperate position. It was kind of like, you can't outrun your problems anymore, Pat. You got to like just face these things and like make some changes. So I just knew, I think you just know. And you got to be honest with yourself about what's most important to you. You know, again, the people that say it's fine for you.
I always find that line so I hate it. It's so lazy. It's such a, people are letting themselves down so quickly with that. They just give up, go, oh, well, I can't because, well, you never will. You never will then.
That's it, about the letting themselves down. There was a lady on to me a couple of months ago, and she said, oh, it's fine for you. You get to do your jiu-jitsu and this, that, the other. I've got kids and I can't do that. And I felt like you're fighting for a limitation there, because I'm guessing you don't want to do jiu-jitsu. Why worry about that? And if you really want to do jiu-jitsu, I'll babysit your kids for you. I'd love to see you go and do jiu-jitsu, you know, but there's always a way to make things work. Yeah. And again, I say that equally recognizing that I have a different life, like to a lot of people. And some people, some of the people I work with, their kids have disabilities and they just don't have freedom, and they can't plan their week because this thing's changing all the time. But again, this is an important point to think for us all. Again, when we're reading books, when we're going to seminars, when we're listening to podcasts, is never listen to someone and say, that won't work for me, or that won't work in my town, or that won't work for my business. Instead, ask the question, how could I make that work in some small capacity if it feels right to you? So I was thinking about this recently. I was saying, here's two little examples on this. Let's say there's five people in an office and none of them like being there anymore, but they've kind of resigned to the fact that, you know, I have to be here. You know, I've got commitments. I've got this, that, and the other. One of them decides to start studying a course on the side. So 2 or 3 hours a week, they start studying something in the evening. A year from now, that person is in a position where they can transition into something new. The other four aren't, because they decided, I'm stuck where I am. I can't do anything. And then the other side of that is, there was a story a couple of years ago, a friend of mine told me, all the boys were working in a factory back in the day and they hated it. They just go in with a frown on their face, hating the fact that they were there. And there was one guy that would always turn up with a smile, despite the fact he didn't like the work. And they said, how do you enjoy this as much as you do? He says, I don't enjoy this. And they said, why do you smile? He says, well, when I show up to work, I'm putting money aside. And that money I'm putting aside is going to someday put me in a position where I can go and have my dream job working in a safari in Africa.
Oh, I love that.
One by one, each of the lads finished up in the factory, went working in different jobs. This guy was the last man standing there. And a couple of years later, they reached out to him. Where are you? I'm in Africa. I've moved to Africa. I'm doing my thing. And so the logic in that and the lesson in that is, sometimes we all have this story of, I'll be happy when. Mm. And so again, if I'm in the corporate world, and I always use that example because it's just kind of something I hear quite a bit. If I'm in the corporate world and I'm thinking, oh, I'd love to be a yoga teacher. Sometimes people think that the dream starts the day that you become the yoga teacher. To me, the dream starts when you go into work the next day and you're like, I don't love what I'm doing right now. However, where I am right now is allowing me to put €10 a week aside, €100 a week aside. That is feeding my dream of being the yoga teacher. Your dream starts when you decide, I'm going to do this. And so I think, again, irrespective of your position in life and where you are, you can dream and you can kind of start thinking about, what can I do? Not what can't I do? And I know this all sounds a bit, you know, airy fairy to some people, but it's just a reality. It's all based on our decisions. What do I want? Where do I want to be in 12 months? What's one thing I can do to move myself? It's the compound effect. It's, again, it's probably, you know, we talk about what changed for me. Nothing really changed in a heartbeat. Everything was little steps, little steps, little steps. I used to use that analogy of the spiral staircase. And the spiral staircase analogy is, you can't see 10 steps ahead, but you can see the next step. So you take that and then you have faith that as you take your next step and your next step, but we have to be willing to step. There's this idea that, like, there's three decisions in life. The best decision you can make is the right decision. The second best decision you can make is the wrong decision, because you learn from it. The worst decision you can make is indecision. So that's me complaining about my situation, but not doing anything to change it. There's certain things in my life I don't particularly love, but I either accept them for what they are and I recognize they're not a priority, so I'm not going to do anything to change it, or I change it, but I'm not going to wallow in self-pity thinking it's so unfair that I have to put up with X, Y, or Z, you know?
I think you're dead right. And the thing you said there about it, the journey starts the day you make the decision, I think that's correct. I think the also thing is, start on that journey. Don't think of, oh, the day I become a yoga teacher, then I've made it. What if you hate being a yoga teacher? I always say that to people. It's like, people always reach out to me and go, I want to start my own business. But I'm like, just start something small. Start something really tiny. Start the smallest business you can find. Run that and then see, is that something you want to do? Because I think there is that element of, I'll be happy when I have my own business. Maybe you hate being an entrepreneur. Maybe you hate being a yoga teacher, you know, but you have to try and you have to start. I love the thing about time as well. I don't have time, or replace with, it's not a priority. I can't remember who said that. I might actually have even been one of your podcasts, but I love that.
If you enjoyed that mentor moment with Pat, you can go back way back to episode 72 and listen to the whole episode with Pat. I think it's nearly time to get him back on again, actually, just from listening back to today. I think it's time to get him back on. So go back to episode 72, enjoy that full episode with Pat. I'll see you back here in a couple of days for a brand new Idea Lab. Wherever you're listening, whether it's Spotify, Apple, or YouTube, hit subscribe. It helps the podcast to grow. I'll see you back here in a couple of days.